Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't get it. Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to 2021's first ramble.
It's the first ramble.
You guys, I am so excited for this ramble because I have like 5 weeks worth of notes on things to ramble about since it's been that long since we rambled. And there are so many things that are current and relevant to the I Don't Get It podcast that have been like headlines over the past few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm stoked. Okay. But Naz, I know that you wanted to talk about something first.
Yeah. So basically, I also always look forward to the rambles the most. And I feel like I've been reading on the Facebook messages that you guys love the rambles, or some or most of you do. So I just want to encourage you guys that if you really love a ramble, please share it. Like share it on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever it is that you're on and that you can share it on. Or just tell a friend about it, because you guys love the rambles and we want to do more of them, but we also need you guys to listen to it in order to do more of them.
Yeah. So like we would really like to do them every other week, I think. Okay, guys. My first I don't get it is light, fluffy, and not relevant to the world right now. But you know what word I cannot stand?
Tell me.
Bikini.
Bikini?
Yeah.
Bikini?
What? I've never been able... I never liked this word. I've always said, like, two-piece. Because...
A
like,
two-piece?
Oh, you're bikini. It's like, ew!
I don't like... I don't love bikini, but I do not like when people say swimsuit opposed to bathing suit. And I know I'm in the minority because it's a swimsuit, you know?
No, I know. Like, I agree. Lauren and I were raised saying bathing suit. As I've gotten older, I started to say swimsuit just because it makes way more sense.
You guys are, first of all, hilarious. I think bikini is one of the most fun words in the English vocabulary. I literally love saying it. I don't know if it's because I was raised in a very close proximity to Key West, and that's what I think of when I think of bikini and like Beach Boys. But what's hilarious is that, Ashley, you don't like the word. And when I think of anyone, when I think of the word bikini, it is you. Because I have never met anyone that is so comfortable just like living in a bikini.
I know, but I feel
I think I don't like the word bikini because I hate the thought of going to buy them. I hate the thought of wearing them. I just do not enjoy them.
It and has Ashley's a like, negative
ooh,
connotation.
Look at this cute bathing suit or swimsuit or bikini. And I'm like, I would never think one bathing suit, bikini or swimsuit was cute, because I know I'd have to wear it and feel uncomfortable.
Right, because it's like mixed with all this self-doubt, right?
Exactly.
Or just like this dauntingness of having to like stare at yourself in the mirror at a bikini or beer. Obviously not everyone, you know, feels that way laying on the beach, but like I think most people have at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about the word.
What about bikini line? Does that bother you?
No.
Bikini line?
No, that's interesting. It's only when it's in reference to a two-piece bathing suit.
All right.
Whatever.
You guys have so many. We should have I think we'll just start calling this the word segments, because you guys, the Iconettis, just have like these words that are like so common that they just like are so repulsed by. I'm actually trying to expand my vocabulary this year, guys, and I have a great list of new words that I'm trying to infuse.
Incorporate into your vocab.
I think you talked about this recently, didn't you?
Well, you have been doing well. You've been doing it all year.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you have a word of the day, and then you start using them.
The thing is that I need to get to a point where I use the word and I'm not acting like I'm really using it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. That is perplexing.
Yes. That was so ostentatious of you. It's like, I wish I could just sound like a Boston, like, college professor, you know what I mean? Where it just like flows effortlessly out of my mouth and someone staring at me would be like, yeah, that makes sense. That came out of Naz's mouth.
Yes.
But I'm so obvious in the way that I'm trying so hard to sound smart that it's like, doesn't even work. You know
I just wish that regular, you know, elementary school words would flow naturally out of my mouth. okay.
I'll give you guys one word of the day. My favorite word right now is reticent. And it just basically means like reserved. Someone or something that's like very reserved or like private.
All right. I'll use it. So I don't know how we can't bury this headline or, you know, bullet points on my list. Sex and the City is coming back. We all have a lot of strong feelings about it. I think we've talked about before how we don't think it would ever be a good idea for there to be a reboot. Sex and the City, the movie, Sex and the City 2, the movie, was bad enough.
I've
never seen it either.
Because I don't even want to ruin. Lauren.
I've never seen it.
Lauren, you are so...
Okay, I was like, maybe I did.
Yes, because she did. She definitely did. They went to Abu Dhabi, remember?
I don't think so.
I think you did, but I think you probably only saw it once, so you don't remember anything about it.
Maybe. I don't ever remember Aiden coming back. Don't remember.
Okay, well, the thing is, it was really bad. And we talked about this a few months ago, how Naz had never seen it. And I was like, how do we talk about the show so much and relate our whole lives to it, and you never saw the second movie? Well, anyway, it really is something that probably most fans shouldn't see. But because they just couldn't stop, and I understand the, like, just how, see, this is where I can't find a word, lucrative this series will be on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And I get they're doing it for, like, money and views, because we're all going to watch it, even if we don't think it's a good idea. But there's two huge issues here, which, in addition to the second movie being bad and it just being, like, a real definitive moment for us to say, okay, this series needs to be put to rest, these storylines need to be put to rest, and live in glory where they were. Okay, but just in addition to that, sorry,
holy fuck, Ashley,
they're doing this without Samantha. They're doing it without Kim Cattrall, and we knew that if they were ever going to do something like this, she wouldn't come back, because she's been saying it for years now. She would never come back. She hates Sarah Jessica Parker. Apparently, she says that she's not the reason she's not coming back. She just really feels strongly, like I apparently do, that the show shouldn't come back. But then, in addition to that, the rumors are that Big is going to die in the first episode from a heart attack in the shower.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So the script that they were writing for a Sex and the City movie 3, if they go based on that script, he dies. And then the whole series is about Carrie getting back out there and recovering from this grief. We don't want this. All right, if you guys follow me on Instagram, you may have seen that I posted a story a couple weeks ago about how I'm in like a major hair shedding phase. It has to do with getting off the pill and like androgens and like all this stuff. So I immediately started taking my Nutrafol dedicatedly. Lauren, hairstylist, explain how common hair loss is amongst women and what Nutrafol does about it.
Well, It's very common. I feel like almost everyone who sits down in my chair is like, how do I get thicker, healthier, stronger hair and not have to wait like 2 years for it to come in? And it's either hormonal or it's dietary, but it's very, very common. And I always say just try Nutrafol. You'll get thicker hair in like 6 months. It doesn't take that long and your hair will just be... so like almost like you're on prenatals.
Yeah. They actually said in a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months, and more than 1,500 top doctors recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high quality solution for healthier hair. And just if you guys needed numbers to feel less alone, 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair.
One of the worst things I've ever done is just look at past photos of myself. The first thing I notice is how long and shiny and healthy my hair is.
And knock, for granted.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, knock on wood, I actually, you know, I feel like my hair is still pretty strong and healthy and shiny, but definitely I don't have as much. It was way more dense back in the day. So when you say 30 million, Ashley, that makes me feel way better. But anyways, guys, just know that like, that's not the end all be all. You can actually grow thicker, healthier hair, and you can support our show by going to Nutrafol.com using our promo code GETIT, and new customers will get 20% off. This is their best offer available literally anywhere. Plus you can get free shipping on every order. So right now get 20% off at Nutrafol.com. That's spelled NutraFol.com. Promo code get it. Okay. Is it Lauren? I have a lot to say, so I don't, Lauren, do you want to go next?
No, you go ahead. I kind of already ranted to Ashley yesterday. I know no one listened to it.
You
got to
say the same things you did. Lauren, people want to know what you think.
I know. I agree that it's terrible, but then think about it. What would they do in Sex and the City if everyone was just married? And Ashley's answer was talk about married problems.
The whole series was about finding the one and like the struggle that is dating. So now it's what you do, as Carrie says in Sex and the City 1, what do you do once you found love? Or does she say that in 1 or 2? She says it in one of the movies. It's what happens once you found love. And then it's about marriage struggles. It's not about like having difficult marriages, but it's the little things that I talk about with you guys on Rambles. That is what this generation that followed them wants to see. The end. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll change it.
So all my thoughts are exactly what you said. To have the show is like literally in the upper echelon of the greatest shows ever aired. Like in my head, next to like The Sopranos, like, I don't know. Literally, it's like The Sopranos, Sex and the City, Seinfeld. Like, just classic shows that should never be touched. Like you said, number two, never even seen it because it just did so, it performed so poorly between critics and audiences. It's one thing if like audiences love it. You know, we see these movies all the time, like Keep Going, when audiences love it, but critics don't like it. But it was just so poorly received by everyone that I didn't even watch it. And the fact that Samantha Jones, like the most iconic, the most sex positive character, I'm like, how do they even go on without Samantha? I don't even, it's like, even if they met a new friend that they would introduce, I would already
no
hate
new
her.
Friends.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, we already have so much loyalty to Samantha. Samantha being Kim Cattrall, like synonymous, symbiotic relationship in the sense where like, no one else can play Samantha. I don't think anybody would accept that visually or even want that, no matter how amazing the actor or actress was. I just think that's how like loyal the fan base is. Like you said, it is lucrative. I'm like, this is genius. Everyone's going to watch. I cover TV and movies all the time. We live in this world of revivals, reboots, re-everything. Like, nothing's original anymore. So in my head, I'm like, okay, this is very lucrative. Each cast member, by the way, is getting over $1 million an episode.
Oh, I thought it was just Sarah, but oh, interesting. Good, good. Deserving.
Oh, see, I'm so sorry. I'm confused. I thought this was movie 3.
It's a series revival on HBO Max.
I thought it was a movie.
No. Well, 10 episodes. Well, it's good you said that because maybe a lot of people listening did think that. Maybe we weren't specific about it. It is a series. We're getting a season, and it is about these women.
They got to kill them.
I was just going to say, Ashley, I disagree with you. And Lauren, I agree with you because I think Big does have to go because there's more storylines and more to explore with like these women now, I don't know, maybe in their 50s now instead of in their 30s trying to date. I think you already have Charlotte with the marital, you know what I mean? You have Charlotte going through that journey, possibly Miranda. Carrie's going to be the one that's going to have to date. And I'm actually, the one thing that has me wanting to watch is how they're going to tackle everything I go through, which is dating apps, text messaging. I've always wondered watching Sex and the City, what would it be like if she had to deal with text messaging, ghosting, all this stuff?
That.
I was going to say maybe I was going to say maybe they could have like
That's
Steve
what
die.
I'm saying. Please or, have Steve die.
But Miranda has a kid, which would make it extra sad. And Charlotte has a kid that makes it extra sad. But then again, we've been so engaged with Big and Carrie's love story, but not as
well,
much.
I love Steve and Miranda
even
we
though
love
I love
Harry
that relationship.
Charlotte.
So I think
guys,
one of them
format
had to die.
Wise, it has to be Carrie because she has the column, right? And it's the column that drives each episode. It's her voiceover in the narrating that drives all the lessons. So it's like if Carrie's just talking about someone else learning these dating lessons, it's not as interesting as if Carrie has to deal with something a lot of people in the world deal with, which is loss.
Especially when they're older, like right. if they're 50 or something years old, a lot of people have actually probably gone through.
Yeah,
a husband
I mean,
dying,
I think isn't
maybe.
That the leading cause of men dying anyway? Is heart attacks? I don't know if that's like an old stat from 2007, no, but it's been disease, in my head forever. But anyways,
yeah, and he looked
I know,
like a heart attack.
I know
anyway.
That he had heart issues in the past. You guys, I can't like. Should we watch? You know. They said it was 10 years, you know, that it took her from meeting him to marrying him. And you're telling me they finally married and now he's going to die?
All I know is that we got to get on Courtney or someone to get a screeners of this show and we need to cover it episodically.
Do you think it will be in one...
Whole
we
other,
are the
whole
unofficial
podcast,
Sex in series. The City yeah. relating, not Sex in the City storyline, like let's get in like fans, but as far as relating it to our lives, as far as like having bigs and stuff, it's like that is something that I think we would all have really interesting takes on and I would like love to do.
Yes, let's do a Patreon. So we'll do an extra episode that week and you guys like need to pay like $5 for it.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm so fucking down. And like Ashley, I am really torn. I think it's so perfect. There's a lot of me that's like, don't do this, especially don't do it without Samantha. But then I'm like, there is a lot that they can correct that like there were a lot of issues with the show back in the day, whether it was like diversity or like how women were portrayed. You know what I mean? Like there were a lot
or
of
like how Carrie apparently well, was the
Carrie
toxic friend.
The toxic
but we all
friend.
Realized that when we grew up. Yeah.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how they try and tackle those things now. But I really just want to see her in like a technology driven dating world and like how that affects Carrie. I'm like so fucking interested. The last thing I'll share is that I Googled to see if Darren Star was doing it, the creator.
Yeah.
I don't think he's attached. Yeah. But if this makes you guys feel any better or worse, Michael Patrick King is attached. And I looked him up and he wrote most of the series premieres and finales. And was an executive producer on the original. So it's not like it's like a whole new team. I mean, it could be, but he's definitely attached.
That's the other thing. Like,
I'm wondering how are they going to get rid of Samantha?
Oh, there's like another, like, I hope and pray that they don't kill her off. You can't kill two major characters off in the first episode. They'd have to say that she moves back to LA or something like that.
Yeah. Or that could be a heart. I mean, I know I'm coming from the heartbreak land, but that could be another heartbreak that they tackle. That Carrie tackles is like the loss of a friend, but
she did have like breast cancer.
So now the breast cancer is going to come back.
Right.
I mean that, and then that's what interesting. Ultimately, and then just like the Russian said, your friend may die.
Oh, fuck.
What I was going to say is, I like that it's called And Just Like That. Cause you remember how she would always say that. And it's not called, I couldn't help by one,
just
but
like
wonder.
That.
Yeah.
It's called And Just Like That.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. But this is going to be so interesting.
Can I just say one more thing, though?
Yeah.
I just think that a lot of people, you know, say, oh, Big was the relationship she shouldn't have ended up with. I just always found him so endearing. And, like, there's something about him that just felt like was warmth to me. So that's why I have an even bigger issue with him being killed off. Because, like, while he may not have treated her right at times, I always felt like he was thinking about her.
I think it's also like our wish.
He's a fuckboy. From Case Kenny, we call him a fuckboy.
I was just going to say, I think from all of our traumatic experiences with our bigs and fuckboys, I think there was a little part of us, maybe a little happy to see that it worked out for someone, even if it was in a fictional world, because so many times it doesn't happen for us in the real world. So I think that's my attachment to Big. I can't wait to see Christopher. Is it Noth or North?
Noth.
In it, I hope he signs on. But also, you know what I was thinking, guys? In a dream world,
they kept this PR thing going, but maybe over COVID in some weird world, Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim actually became friends and then they surprise us and Samantha pops up like in the season finale or
incredible.
Something.
Incredible. I'd love that.
Wouldn't that,
that
be the most fucking genius thing ever?
What a dream. Yes. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Now that the holidays are over, it's all too common to set health goals that never actually stick. And New Year's resolutions of the past were looking at you. And it comes when it comes to eating better and consuming less sugar, let's be honest, most healthy snacks don't taste very good and they don't fill you up. And they certainly don't satisfy those cravings. So this episode is sponsored by Monk Pack. It's like a little chipmunk who makes snacks that taste like your favorite sugary treats, but with only 1 gram of sugar. I have no idea how they do this, but they are delicious. And now that I'm actually someone that works out, I need a good grab and go bar that isn't filled with sugar. And Monk Pack has those for you. Monk Pack is a keto granola bar and it contains just 1 gram of sugar, 2 grams of net carbs, and they're only 140 calories. The bars that I usually grab are 350 calories, I think. So these are incredible. For only 140 calories. They're great for anyone following the keto lifestyle, but also the perfect snack for anyone who is trying to eat better or cut back on sugar or carbs, and both without sacrificing taste. Monk Pack keto granola bars have a soft and chewy texture and come in delicious flavors like coconut, cocoa chip, maple, pecan, and peanut butter. What's not to love there? I love the maple pecan. Anything with maple in it is usually my jam. They're perfect for a quick breakfast and a snack in between Zoom calls or a late night treat. In addition to being keto friendly, the bars are also gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based and non-GMO. So with no soy, trans fat, sugars, alcohols, or artificial colors. I along with Ashley, are allergic to soy, which is super random. And a lot of bars that I pick up before like a workout or something have soy in it and they make my throat really scratchy. So that's another amazing thing about Monk Pack, because I do know a lot of people out there are allergic to soy. They taste incredible and you can't beat the low sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door. Try for yourself and you'll see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code GETIT, G-E-T-I-T, at checkout. And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. And to get started, go to monkpack, M-U-N-K-P-A-C-K.com. That's MUNKPACK.com and select any product and enter our code GET IT at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food you can count on. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Okay. Well, our next big topic that we have yet to talk about is.
Let me guess.
What?
Evermore.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to talk about Evermore. I was going to talk about Harry Styles.
Nope, that's
and
next.
Wilde.
There's three huge ones. That'll be next.
Okay.
Evermore is the first Taylor Swift album I don't think I like. And I say I don't think I like because truly have listened to it 3 times through and I've had no desire after those 3 times to listen to it again. Naz.
I agree with you, but I haven't listened to it 3 times over like you have.
Why? Like, why haven't you? Like, that's weird, right? That's weird for a Taylor album to not just be craving to listen to it over and over again.
Exactly. And I know that it's a sister album to Folklore, which is literally the number one album to come out of 2020. I think Taylor Swift's best album yet. And I'm a major fan of, like, Speak Now. But, yeah, I think unfairly I was expecting it to be Folklore. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I just couldn't help but compare. And I think it was really cool that she took a lot of risks as an artist. Like, you know, doing that true crime one with a member from Haim or Haim.
It's
I never know how to say
the best song there
band.
Is on the album.
You think I like Gold Rush, but specifically for the lyrics. I mean, she's a master lyricist,
Rush,
so I think it's
Gold Rush sounds like it came from Folklore. I think it's right up there. I think a lot of them are right up there.
Yeah,
and you guys
Willow
just
too.
Weren't ready. You weren't ready. The yeah. buildup wasn't there. The half the magic of the Taylor album is anticipation.
There was no, already, there was none for Folklore. She dropped
there
it
was
that
none
night
for Folklore.
Too,
Lauren.
You were surprised.
But you were burnt out. You were excited. You got it. And you listened to it like, yeah. And you're like, I wasn't ready. You were not ready.
I don't think
maybe
that's
Lauren's
it, Lauren.
Right.
I
maybe
love
I was
to
like
think that, but
I think you guys need to take a nice drive in a gloomy sunset on a rainy day. Play it really loud in your car and you'll change your mind.
Okay, I'm going to do that maybe yeah. this weekend or next weekend, and I'll get back to you guys on our next ramble. But I just, it didn't tug at my heartstrings. Like, and there it was a lot of like Lover. Remember how she came out with like double the amount of songs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was kind of like getting two albums at once. It's the same thing where I think with Taylor, for me, quality over quantity, same. You know, like I rather, but I, again, I think it's so dope that she feels like she can do whatever she wants. She was literally on the pop star hamster wheel, you know, where like she had to like write songs and put it out and go on tour and write songs and put it out and go on tour. And I think COVID, if you guys watched the Pawn Sessions on Disney Plus, it is fucking amazing. She goes behind the scenes on every song of Folklore with Jack Antonoff and the other guy that she wrote stuff with from the Nationals. It is so, so good. And I think this is just proof that she's finally doing whatever she wants. So I think that's cool. But it wasn't, there was no song that I was like, oh my God, I have to repeat this right now.
It's definitely,
I personally think that I like the same amount. Like I love the same amount on Evermore that I do on Folklore. Like I really dislike like three songs on each album. And then there's like four magical on each album.
Okay. So what are the ones that you,
I don't
like on Evermore.
Yeah, what are
the ones that I like yeah. on Evermore?
And why? Okay. Yeah, why do you like them?
Okay, I like Champagne Problems. I like Gold Rush. I like Ivy. Okay, these are the ones that I love. The right word would be love. Those are love. And 'Tis the Damn Season is a love. Nobody, No Crime is a love. Ones I do not like. I do not like Coney. I like Coney Island, but not when the guy comes in. And I don't.
Bon Iver. I love how.
I don't like him. I absolutely dislike him.
I love
him.
How you call him the guy when it's like Bon Iver is literally like so iconic.
I don't.
Jared and I are so disappointed in that song because the one with him on Folklore is incredible.
Yeah. And I didn't like that one at first. And now I love it after watching the Pawn Sessions.
So I don't know when, like, I can't listen to Coney Island because like her part is so beautiful, and then he's just like, oh no! I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
That is the weirdest song. This is the last track, right?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I'm talking about Coney Island, the National, not Bon Iver.
This is the one with National, not Bon Iver. Who I don't.
That's why I said the guy.
Yeah, the guy from the National.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, because the one with Bon Iver is the last track, and this song
Bon
is Iver. Shit Bon Iver. Compared to the other one, where Got that's it. Just like mystical to me. And then in this one, it almost sounds like did not fit into this album. That song, she should have just done it alone. Anyway,
Cowboy.
Yeah,
like
Cowboy.
Me.
I like that.
Oh,
one.
I remember liking that one.
That's. Yeah. I absolutely would rather listen to like someone scrape a fork.
Stop!
On a
why? That's my third favorite song.
Ashley asked you why you like the other ones. You have to tell us why.
Oh, why I like the other ones? Champagne Problems, the lyrics. Gold Rush, kind of like the melody. 'Tis the Damn Season, the lyrics. Yeah. It's literally my fucking life. Nobody, No Crime, because it's fun and catchy. And Ivy, it's pretty. And Cowboy Like Me, I don't know why I hate that one, but yeah.
Okay, so what I wanted to say is, even though I don't like it, yes, reiterating what Naz said, happy for Taylor that she's at a part of her career where she can put music out just for herself. She's like, if my fan base isn't going to like this, whatever, yep. I like this. It's fine. Like, mm-hmm. I respect. But I definitely think she put out this album for her and not for a lot of the fans.
Okay. Mm.
Which
I wonder what the general consensus of Evermore is. I haven't like looked it up.
It is the general consensus, I feel. Because you haven't seen the lyrics everywhere.
You haven't heard.
You haven't
about
like
it.
Girls aren't like using it as the captions to their pictures everywhere.
Got it.
Right?
Got it. That's what I'm asking you guys. I haven't seen it in my circle. So in your circle of life, if you haven't seen it, then yeah, I think that is the general consensus. I don't think people are like obsessed with it, but I do think the one thing that this has proven is that so many people that listen to our podcast are like, have someone on to dissect the music, to dissect the songs. And I think after watching the Pond Sessions and listening to Folklore and now getting Evermore, I think what we've learned now from Taylor Swift in 2020 is that not all her songs are going to be about her dating life. Actually, exactly. Very few of them are now. And now she's just truly expressing herself as an artist and writing about different things, whether it's a woman, a historical figure from back in the day, or a true crime thing like that song. You know what I mean? And I think that's really cool and exciting and new for all of us.
I disagree.
Apparently there is a new triangle.
Taylor is because of like her dating
Which is why for me it's not cool. Like for her, great, but like her fans aren't gonna like have as much fun or get as much excited when she has a new album out, because it's not like, oh yay, she's gonna tell like her story, which is like kind of like my story, and it's just a lot less fun. I don't feel any kinship to most of the songs because I know they're such a specific story that I cannot relate to. And I don't know. And like, just the visuals in my head are just like, oh, that person, like that person hasn't even been in my life. Like I can't even relate that as that's not even a friend of mine. If that makes sense.
I understand that. Yes. Yes.
So one of my big resolutions, I hate the word resolutions, but like one of my big short-term goals for the year is to really expand upon Heartbroken Anonymous. And as like a young female entrepreneur, I've been looking into different options of things I can do to just create more awareness and expand my, I don't know if I should call it a business, but like a for-purpose instead of a for-profit business, essentially. And so I came across Upstart, which I think is genius for anyone that either wants to pay off credit card debt, or if you're like an entrepreneur like me and you're looking for loans. They have loans from $1,000 to $50,000. And what's amazing is that they have next day funding. So 99% of your personal loan funds are sent just one business day after signing, and they have no prepayment penalty, which I think is honestly such a big sell. So you can pay off part of or all the loans at any time with no fee, which I think is like unheard of.
Upstart also doesn't just go off like your credit score. They find smarter rates with trusted partners because they don't just assess your credit score. They go off way more than that. And with a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. Crazy. And you can get approved the same day and receive funds as fast as one business day. So you can really get your business going.
So you can find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/get it. That is upstart.com/get it. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, your income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. So go to upstart.com/get it.
What were you saying about triangles, Lauren?
I think apparently there's another triangle happening in this album that I haven't really taken the time to research.
Oh,
but I kind of pick up on it when I'm listening to the whole album through. I'm like, oh, that was in that song. But I haven't like had the brain cells to do it.
Got it. I think you can relate to stuff, but like you said, Ashley, not as easily as before when it was like obvious. I think you have to like read into it more, listen to it a couple of times more, which just requires more work. But I just want more songs like Betty from Folklore. I want like her country to come out.
I just want country too.
And it's like, for example, Betty is, you know, told from this guy's perspective and he's saying sorry and whatever. I can't relate to that. It's not about like a celebrity that she dated, but I love that it's still like a song about someone saying sorry. You know what I mean? Like that's what I want more of. And I want it to sound like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting that Betty is definitely a favorite from Folklore. And then that the one with Haim is probably my favorite from the other one. And they're both the country hinted ones.
Yeah. Is it Haim or Haim? I need to like tackle this.
I thought it was Haim.
I think it's Haim. Maura would know.
Maura wouldn't know because we were way bigger fans than Maura was.
Oh, really?
Maura would know how to say it. Maura says it, I think, both ways. Moore is our friend, guys, out there. She's like in the music industry world, but also kind of has disdain for Haim.
Yeah, exactly. Haim. That's why
she,
it's
like,
funny.
Hates them, but she was like
supposed
to,
like, all of her being was supposed to be obsessed with them. So she kind of like rejected it, and Laura and I fully embraced.
Yeah. She's so annoying. That's so funny.
No, actually, that's interesting.
She's not annoying. I love Maura.
Speaking of that, because like I was reminded, because they're on the album, that they had a new album come out this year. So right next to each other in my Apple Music, I have their new album and then Taylor's. And like, damn, do I want to listen to the Haim album way more.
Yes.
A lot more bangers for me on there.
Oh, okay. I got to listen to that then. Someone else who came out with new music recently is Mr. Harry Styles.
Yeah, I haven't heard that new one yet, though, because I'm old.
He came out with a music video, if you guys haven't already seen it, with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who stars in one of my favorite shows, Fleabag, and it's so happy and uppity. But the newsworthy news is that he's starring in a new film, I forget the title of it, directed by Olivia Wilde, and then, of course, that sparked dating rumors that I think are true. Haven't been confirmed, Olivia Wilde...
Confirmed.
Are they?
I think they're confirmed.
I think sources have confirmed Harry or Olivia haven't been like, yes, I'm dating this person.
Okay. I think Olivia may have confirmed it, and that's why she was seen getting her stuff out of Jason Sudeikis' house.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because I did a story for E! News last week, and whoever's listening to this, you're listening to this now 2 weeks before, that no one even knows when Olivia and Jason mm-hmm. actually broke up.
But it was reported when? In October or November?
It would have been any time between January and November of last year that they ended things.
What?
That's a very long chunk of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait.
So nobody.
Wait. I did not have this information. So they announced their breakup, though, this past October or November, right?
Yeah.
But they had been separated.
But we don't know when like it actually all went down. Exactly, Ashley.
But you're saying that they were broken up way before October?
No, it's not confirmed. No one actually knows. So that's why it's the timeline's sketchy. Like, she started filming with Harry and then maybe they were done, or maybe they were already done before. No one really knows.
Look, am I Wendy Williams? Me being in my Wendy Williams
allegedly.
Zone. Allegedly.
Yes.
Allegedly.
She totally met Harry, and after a few weeks, she was like, fuck this. I'm going to be with him. And I really think that she left Jason Sudeikis because of Harry. And I think
she made a terrible
heartbreaking.
Move.
I think it's heartbreaking because she has two kids with Jason Sudeikis, a 7-year relationship. It just seems like such an immature thing. This is like, of course.
It's very a teacher.
Yeah. It's
guys,
like,
but we have no idea.
I'm pretending to be Wendy Williams right now. We're trying not to be so responsible right now in this discussion. I don't want to be disresponsible. I want to talk about what probably actually happened.
Okay.
That nobody will say. I mean, I think that she met him. She was so insanely attracted to him that she left.
Insanely.
She left him, and I think that this is a decision that she's going to regret because this is
like he's going to go on to another girl.
It's not even just that. It's just like you had like a family with one man, and then you got swept off your feet by one person, as you would like 7 years into a relationship, and then you. I don't know, like in your like heart, in an adult mind, you go, I prioritize this more than this feeling of lust with another person.
The endorphins of a new flirtation overtook her logical brain.
Yeah, exactly. This is just my interpretation of what may have happened.
Unless they were done in fucking last year.
Says, can I go Jason through my Sudeikis hypothetical is situation? Heartbroken over this news, he says. Two kids, you guys. Two kids.
Which is why, back to what we were saying in the beginning, I don't think nobody confirmed, and I think Olivia was actually trying to keep this under wraps because a source does say that Jason is heartbroken over this. I did report on this, but my hypothetical alleged how it all went down in Naz's head is that until Ted Lasso, which I just have to go off on a tangent right now, is such a fantastic, underrated television
show that
on Apple TV Plus. Yeah, that Jason Sudeikis stars in. He wrote it. Is absolutely fantastic. Women and men, anyone of any gender would like it. So you don't even have to like sports. Please watch it. It is genius. It will get nominated for stuff. Anyways, until Ted Lasso, we haven't really heard from Jason Sudeikis. in the last couple of years, Olivia Wilde has blown up, especially as like a female director. Like after Booksmart, I think I've just heard and seen her pop up so many times. I think they were together for a very long time, never married. I don't know why. Okay. That's a big question mark in my head.
That's a good point. Because oftentimes,
I'm like, did he didn't want to get married? Did she not want to get married? So in my head, I'm thinking maybe he didn't want to.
Let me put it in for a second that you're right. When an engagement is that long, there's usually a reason that they didn't take the next step. So possibly, and I'm sure that there were issues in their relationship, which went beyond her just meeting Harry and dumping a perfect relationship. I'm sure it was nowhere near perfect.
Yeah. Right. They broke up before. I think it's been proven they have broken up before. Yeah.
I think she just got so successful or like had so many projects going on. Maybe he didn't. I think maybe he got butthurt a little bit of it. I think maybe she wasn't getting what she wanted out of the relationship. I think they split. And then I think her next movie came up. And then I think the thing happened with Harry and maybe he pursued her and it just happened unexpectedly. And it was already after they were sort of ended. And I think Olivia maybe kept it under wraps and not hurt Jason's feelings. That's what I think happened.
Okay. Lauren?
Lauren thinks what you think. I think that is also very possible. I feel like the mediator. Hold on. Dogs are fucking going crazy.
First of all, you're in Lauren's broadcasting from her dad's office and it looks like she's in the Oval Office and it looks like you're like a judge right now like in like a big black computer chair.
I know. I feel like I need a gavel or something.
Well, we're not arguing because I totally see Naz's way of it and it's probably a combination of the both. They did not have a perfect relationship. They may have been on the way to breaking up. Harry was a huge factor in it is what I think. The turning point.
Hold on. Let me get my earbuds securely in before I say this.
So therefore, maybe she shouldn't have stayed for the kids. Maybe it wasn't like a comforting relationship. I'm just speaking out of my ass. I don't want to get in trouble.
I just think that there is almost 100% chance that they're not going to end up together and be happily married.
Right.
That's the only reason I'm like weary if it was the reason the relationship officially ended. Like there's no going back. Like once you come out with someone new, it's hard to get back together. So that was her final, like, we're not getting back together.
Like
sort of thing.
Ever.
That's an interesting
like
state.
Ever.
Like ever getting back
like
together.
If you're alone and you're exploring your own like projects and stuff, then you can come back together. But like after Harry Styles, yeah. Then it's going to be hard.
Also, it's like all downhill after Harry. But I will say Olivia is just, I mean, when it first came out, the three of us had like a group chat and I was like, I kind of love this. Like I kind of love him with an older woman, a fucking stunning. She is so awestruck to me. She's so beautiful and she's so smart. And like, I don't know. She really, I feel like I haven't taken much time to think about her, but she really is such a badass.
She is. I like very like,
she's mysterious, torn. But like,
I don't really know who she is. I think she's, I think I understand why guys would have a huge crush on her. I understand that.
And I do understand what you guys said that like meeting Harry, it probably like was so magnetic, you know, that yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like, you're kind of at a loss for words when you talk to Harry Styles. I would imagine.
Ashley, do you remember when we met her very briefly?
Yeah.
Very briefly.
Well, wait, did we actually say something?
She said something. She asked me if I was waiting in line for a bathroom.
Oh my God, yeah, that's so
wait,
right.
Where?
we were at Giant Stadium in
we were at MetLife.
At MetLife Stadium.
In a suite. Oh, and cool. Yeah.
Anyways.
We were like, my God.
Oh my God. And that was it. And I was like, that was Olivia Wilde. Oh my God.
It's a new year. A lot of people used to start their New Year's resolutions with getting their body physically healthy, right? Well, I think a really good way to add to that is to get your mind as healthy as it can be as well. And that may take some therapy. And if you are interested in getting into therapy, BetterHelp, if you guys are a longtime listener, you know that this is one of our favorite ways to get therapy that is perfect for you. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And they do this, like you start communicating with them in under 24 hours and you can do it at home, which is great during COVID days. And also perhaps more comforting even when we are able to leave the house on a regular basis.
It is nice just to jump on and be like, okay, I'd like to schedule a video call tonight because I'm feeling bad today. So it's nice to have it online or texting or messaging, because it's just really, really convenient and kind of more private, because then you don't have to go and sit in a waiting room and mm-hmm. park and potentially see people from your town or who knows. So then BetterHelp is a great option if you want to be more private.
Yeah, and how Lauren just mentioned messaging, to me, that is the biggest selling point, because when you are, as we all are, dealing with, whether it's stress, anxiety, you know, depression, anger, grief, self-esteem issues, or just trauma, when you're in that state of whatever it is that I just mentioned, you sort of feel helpless and you're like suffocated in that feeling and you need help right away. And so to me, a big selling point with BetterHelp and why I've always recommended it to friends is because you can message somebody at any yeah. time, which I think is amazing. It's not like you have to wait for your friend to get off work, you know, to call you back to help you out. And again, this isn't self-help, it's professional counseling. And so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So guys, if you want to start living a happier life today, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/get it. You can join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/get it.
There is one other pop culture topic that I do get, and that is Bridgerton.
Are we going to discuss Bridgerton?
So, I think we should discuss Bridgerton, yeah.
Do you know how, yes, I told Ashley, hey, watch Bridgerton. Hey, watch Bridgerton. It's so romantic. You're going to love it. Watch Bridgerton. Yeah. A million times over, because I just knew that she'd love it.
Lauren, it's I started like 3 days after you told me.
Yeah, but it was 3 days. It was 3 days after the world had already seen it, Ashley.
Yeah, no, I watched it along with you. What are you talking about, Naz? You and I both finished the same night. I finished one night. I finished one night after you.
No, you didn't. When you text about the second episode, I'd already finished it already.
Not the second episode. I was texting you. You said the sixth episode, and I go, I'm one behind you.
Oh, you did say that. But I had, but I remember you texting about it, and I'd already finished it.
Yeah, it was like you had just said, like, I just finished it. And I was like, okay, like, I'm on the sixth episode. I'll finish it by tomorrow, which I did.
Yeah. Such a show tailored to you. Shonda Rhimes killed, obviously, everything she does is like cult following. But isn't it crazy? I think 63 or 68 million people watched Bridgerton.
Ooh, that is insane. It was released like the week. Remember how You was released that week last year? It's the one between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody's doing anything. Week. Yeah.
How mm-hmm. beautiful. I saw someone, I think in the Facebook group, mentioned that they did not enjoy the Empire Waste dresses. And yeah, I just thought neither. They were beautiful.
Are you serious?
I love them.
I was just, can I just say something that may be an unpopular opinion? I think it was great guilty pleasure. It was fun to watch. There was nothing else for me to watch that week. I basically tuned in because everyone else was watching it. It was fun, but I thought it was very predictable. And I never thought this show is stupendous or outstanding. I never thought, like, do you guys get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I think people were so like, I'm obsessed. You have to watch this. And I'm like, it did not evoke those feelings for me. I was just like, okay, everyone's watching this, so I'm going to watch this. And of course they end up together. You know what I mean?
It was very predictable.
That's what I liked about it. I love the predictability of it. I didn't want to stress out. They literally didn't make us stress out that much. I like the sexual tension. I was there for it. I talked in their accent all week. Had very like, you know, your grace sort of situation. I loved the predictability. I wasn't stressed out.
Your grace situation.
I like was like, your grace, would you like another Corona? Yes, my lady. Yes, I loved it.
I agree with Lauren. I think it was the light thing that we needed. It was a chick flick, basically a 10-hour chick flick, where we did not have to stress out about them ending up together in the end. And the love was so palpable in the way that I felt like it was with a teacher really early on. Like, there was just so much sexual tension, and the sex scenes came with romance, which I always love, because like
I love that.
You know, it was like porny, but like not porny, because it was love and marriage.
I loved the, yeah, I mean, it's, you gotta wait till like, episode.
It's all fun because it was in wedlock.
It's all fine. It's, God allowed it. God allowed it. But it's a fucking slow burn. You gotta wait till episode 6 till you see any like naked, real nakedness under that perfect Taylor Swift instrumental, which I just absolutely
It was fun
loved.
To be like, wait, what is this? Oh God, I can't place it.
Can we also just say that it was just fun to look at the two of them because they were both so stunning? You know, the leads.
I didn't think that their attraction was matched.
Really?
I think he's so fine.
Oh, I think she's so pretty. She's just like
she
my type
is stunning.
Of pretty.
She's stunning. And I told you guys, she reminds me of Kate Winslet, like literally spitting image.
She's
however,
like Kate Winslet.
It was the outfits they put her in that just made her seem so much younger than him to me that it kind of like threw me off a little.
Okay, so full circle conversation here. First off, she looks like Dakota Fanning meets Sophie Turner meets Kate Winslet, and Lauren saw a little Keira Knightley in there, which I did you say that? But I did not see that.
I strictly just saw Kate Winslet.
I mean, Kate Winslet's eyes. It was like from like the bridge of the nose up was so Kate Winslet. It was weird.
Well, and her mole's in the exact same spot.
I didn't even realize
mole.
She had a mole.
I didn't realize she had a mole.
You said she had a mole.
She's a mole
in
the mouth.
I didn't even realize she
had a
mole.
I never realized she had a mole until you said it. And then I watched the next episode. I was like, she got a mole.
Okay. But yes, back to the fashion. The Empire waists were so weird to me because they were constant. She didn't wear anything but an Empire waist.
That was the style.
What happened with the corsets? When why even wear a corset?
Ashley, if you were wearing high-waisted pants in the year 2000, you were disgusting. That's like if she wore like a mid-rise sort of dress. Like
you guys, can you first describe what an Empire waist is to people listening that maybe haven't seen Bridgerton or don't know what that is?
An Empire waist is when it's cinched right under your bust.
Yeah, so not your waist, but like right underneath the boobie is where it's the tightest.
So, which I remember back in the day when there were like terry cloth, like scrunchy
yes!
sort of like
peasant
dress. We would call them the pregnant tops.
Yeah,
we would call them
peasant tops.
Comfy. Those are nice. I like those.
I just thought
too.
That like everybody looked pregnant in those outfits. It was just not flattering to me.
Yeah. She's in delicate condition.
And in another fashion moment I didn't get this week was on The Bachelor. I didn't understand and I tweeted it out. And of course, people are so like, you can't say anything these days. You can't even question somebody's outfit choice without people being
fuck off. That was the ugliest piece of shit I've ever seen.
All cranky.
Wait, what are you guys
talking
about?
Not Victoria's. But the fact that Brie tied her sweater over her shoulder and through her waist.
Actually, that's cute. Everyone's
I thought that was a cool fashion choice.
I think
I was
it's
like,
weird.
Oh, way to elevate the basic turtleneck.
Turtleneck? She wasn't wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah, it was like a sleeveless beige
turtleneck.
Oh, and she had the thing?
I always remember a turtleneck because I love a good turtleneck.
You guys, I know that this like is a fashion forward thing right now, but like I truly do not get it. Like that does not look better than it does around your waist.
I think it does look better than it does around your waist.
Are you
serious? Why would you ever wrap something around your waist?
Why would you wrap something around your waist? You're not in middle school anymore.
Yeah. You're not trying to hide your pee stain, Ash.
Lauren, it looks like you have a cinched at the waist. What do you mean? We tie things around our waist. You tie a plaid around your waist.
You tie a
Ashley,
plaid
we're not
flannel.
In 2008. When was the last time I wrapped something around my waist?
That's called an urban skirt, first of all. And... yeah, that's like not, I mean, it's totally a fine thing to still do, but it's not like the thing to do.
It's not the thing to do.
All right, fine. Well, I don't like this new the thing to do.
Well, who said this was a new, I've never even seen this on anyone else.
I don't know. Well, that's, people were like, Ashley, that's the new thing. Like, it's called fashion. Of course you'd be behind on
it. Was it a plaid shirt? Was it a sweater or a plaid shirt?
It was not a plaid shirt. It was a sweater.
Then I understand what she was doing.
Or it was a jacket.
I haven't seen that.
I mean, I love Bria. This antiquated. Is nothing against her. This is we're just talking about this trend. I just don't get the trend.
I've seen it before.
Where? I've never
it's
seen
kinda
it.
It's kind of like the sling bag fanny pack.
Yeah, the sling bag. Like, what's up with that? That's so
it's
weird
with
to me.
Your sweater.
Am I old?
Instead of the purse.
I've gotten really
old. I like
old.
Crossbody. Crossbody stuff's been around
we're
for
not
the last
talking
like, four
crossbody.
Or five.
Crossbody. We're talking about the actual pouch, like right here on your boob.
Naz has those.
That is.
Yeah.
Naz, I've never seen it look weird on you. But I see it in like all these advertisements now, and it looks bizarre.
Wait, Ashley, this has happened for the last 2 years. Men have worn fannies across their, like, breast.
Not big, giant ones with logos on it, like I've been seeing.
Yes, big, giant ones with logos on it. That started actually, that's 2 years ago.
They started with the giant
you
logos.
You guys, can I tell you something? This is, you know how we, like, look back on different eras, and we're like, can you believe we did that? Like, can you believe that was a look?
Everything I wore.
This is going to be that look that everybody's like, can you believe people put their pouch on their breast?
I'm glad you brought up The Bachelor, though, because obviously, you know, you have Almost Famous, which I'm sure everyone that's listening right now listens to Almost Famous. But we need to address the fact, we need to just address Matt James's Bachelor. I think it is so endearing as someone who's worked on the show, been a fan of the show, is now watching the show all the time. I think it is so endearing that he's never been through it before. Yep. And I think it's giving it this new sort of refreshing relatability where it's like, it's his first one-on-one, his first group date. And I literally wrote this down for us to talk about, which I thought was so cute. First of all, I could go on for hours about Abigail. I am so fucking obsessed with them together. Wait. It literally warms my heart and makes me giddy. I literally am grinning and like, I'm like, ew, when they're on screen together, I turn into a fucking like 12-year-old little girl that's like writing in her diary when they're together. Aww. But anyways, when he gave her the first impression, Rose, spoiler, he said that special rose. And I thought that was so cute.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Because Matt's never done it before. So I really picked up on it because I'm like, he just was like, I'm going to give you that special rose.
One that girls want at the beginning.
Yeah, like it's just so endearing that he's like, hasn't been through it before, you know?
I completely agree. Yeah, there's like this sweet sense of innocence that comes from him having not been in the role. Like, he's just as nervous to go on these dates as the girls are, and it makes them on an even playing field. There's like no ego with him, which is so nice. Like, I mean, like, there's no ego in the way that he's like, I'm the Bachelor, the girls should be auditioning for my heart. He really thinks it's equal. And it was so evident when he said, remember he was sitting down with Sarah and
yes, I know what you're gonna say.
What do you need from me?
How can I prove to you that I'd be a partner that you'd want to be with? Oh my God. I was like, oh yeah.
But it's like, it's almost like this is how it's always should have been. Like all the leads should always be like that. Love is always a two-way street, you know?
Exactly.
So that was so, I agree. I love that moment too. And I can't wait to see what happens.
Do you guys think that there's going to be like an influx of maybe leads that have never been on before since everyone's liking this?
We'll see.
Yeah, I think this definitely opened the door and it's kind of crazy for anyone to be the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, which is kind of wild.
I kind of like it because then also when you're one of the contestants, like one of the 25, then you're not like looking at like, oh, if I don't get this, then I could be the Bachelorette or I could be the Bachelor. And then that like secondary consolation prize isn't even there for you. And then you aren't there just for like fame or something.
100% right. I even think of that, Lauren. But also I think it gives the show the ability now that if there isn't someone whose story really resonated or that we really took to, which I'm not like going to need names.
I'm sorry.
Peter is a perfect example.
I said Peter.
Oh, see, I think Peter was a great season.
Peter was a great season because it was such a train wreck. But like Peter, we didn't really have a huge attachment toward on Hannah's season. And he was plucked because they just had to pick him or there was Zippo.
Right. Exactly what you guys are saying. I just think it's really great that now they have the ability to pick someone else that maybe we can see a different person's love dream.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So to wrap this podcast up and bring it back to Bridgerton for a second, the English accent is funny because I was thinking like when I was trying to talk like her, I was like, that would be perfect. So then I've never been good at accents. So how do they teach English or like grammar in England? Like it's like, it's a P-E-R-F-E. Perfect. They're so the E sound, what does the
soft
E make?
R, like a soft E, a soft or hard E, you know?
Yeah. And it's like perfect. Like that's, but like, do we teach it as like a purr? Like when we're learning?
It's probably an A.
Do they say an E makes an A sound?
But first of all, their English came before ours, and
technically ours makes more sense.
because ours is perfect. No, ours is perfect with because an E makes an sound or E.
I guess. Yeah, I get what you mean. Like the R is like But do you guys watch The Crown?
No, I have to watch season four just because of Princess Diana.
You have guys. You need to watch. The Crown for season one.
I tried. I got through four episodes and I just saw it was too slow.
Oh my God. It is slow. Every episode's like a movie, but it is like the most well done. But anyways, I started speaking in their accent after watching. Whenever it comes on, I try talking like them. And I too am infatuated with like the way they speak and how like Claire Foy would always like say, but it's actually different than the way they talk in Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all, there is so many different like
dialects of the dialects.
I was actually thinking because WandaVision's coming out this, it's now out if you're listening to this, and that is the first like Marvel show, but it's very much like a 50s sitcom meets the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's so crazy. It's like you're watching the episode and it's like you're watching I Dream of Jeannie meets MCU. But I was kept thinking is like how in the 50s, like when did we stop talking like that? They're like, oh, it's a gas.
No, and I'm like, when not did just we that, stop? But women used to just speak so softly. Like women used to just sound so feminine, classically feminine and gentle. And I'm not saying I want to talk like that, but it's interesting how we've evolved into being so like the way that we're talking here on the podcast.
We're like, I just took a shit and farted.
I know.
Not even just what we say. It's how we say it.
No, listen to me, girls. There was this thing I saw. I don't remember where I saw it, but the way that you watch movies and TV.
Yeah.
Okay. Back in like from like the 20s to like the 50s, they created a language. It's not how everyone talked. It's only what guys are seeing in movies and TV.
Really?
They created this blend of accents so it would appeal to both the British and the people here.
That makes sense.
It was never really. They went to school and they trained how to speak in this semi like, oh, she could be from here, but she could also be from here.
Interesting. Well, my mind is blown right now. That makes so much sense, Lauren.
Yeah, that like, Grace so Kelly-like sound.
Yes. That was never a way anyone spoke, actually.
And like Audrey Hepburn, you know, where you kind of think she like lived in France for a little, but she didn't.
Yeah. They like melted all of it.
Whoa. Like think about Lauren in The Aviator, like how.
Oh, Howard. Yes.
Yeah. She like.
Oh, Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think of Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek, how she has like this unplaceable accent. It's like you can't tell where she was from or where she lived. But it's something. Yeah.
It's just like a blend.
Whoa, so interesting.
Wow, that would bring us to another hot topic if we were going to go there, which would be Alec Baldwin's wife.
Oh, that would seamlessly blend into
this. Wait, I need to know your thoughts on Hilaria.
I don't find this so funny or interesting. I don't get it. I don't understand why the masses are so entertained by this.
I will
because
say
it's someone pretending to be someone they're not, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
I don't know the whole story.
It's not as big of a deal as they're making it seem, but it's like she just is trying to be someone who she isn't, like Naz said. So
she like
her name's
summer,
Hillary, but she goes by
Hilaria.
Hilaria.
I guarantee she had like an uncle from Spain who called her Hilaria. And she's like, ooh, that sounds prettier at like age 8. And then was like, call me Hilaria.
No, what happened is something like that. She says that she was born
she
in the Boston
in
area, spent like, spent some of her like upbringing in Spain and her family called her Hilaria in Spain or something like that.
Yeah.
I get
so she clung on to it. She's a little shit, but I mean,
do you guys think Alec Baldwin, do you think Alec Baldwin cares? Do you think he's like, whatever?
I think he's like, whatever. God, they found out. Damn it.
Exactly.
Lauren, yes.
Like he knew he's a smart guy. Like, maybe he picked up on it in the
every
past couple years.
She says, hi, I'm Hilaria. He rolls his eyes. Just hopes no one catches on.
Well, what was funny was when she was trying to explain it and then she got on Instagram and just spoke in a totally American accent.
That's and she's true. Been in good. Different, I've read that she's been on different podcasts sounding and saying different things. Did they do a skit of her on SNL? Because that's what my first thought was like, damn, Alec Baldwin's going to get called out on SNL. And he is an SNL person.
Yeah.
That's like Lindsay Lohan, you know?
And Madonna. Like it's
and Madonna.
So
that's true. That's true. All right. So hilarious. Well, guys great.
And Great that's how ramble. You party in Mykonos, baby. Oh, Lord. All right, guys. Well, that was basically it. Very good pop culture catch up.
Yeah. So yeah,
that was the pop culture catch up for sure.
As we said at the top of the show, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends. Just like, you know, pop them a little link in their text and be like, this is funny. You'll relate.
Yeah. And let us know what you think about our episodes. I'm personally really curious on what you guys think about our last episode with Case Kenny, mm-hmm. especially if you're single. Let us know what other angles you'd like for us to cover on our podcast. But yeah, love you guys.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
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 Did you know that everyone has an aura? Do you know what color your aura is? Maybe you have a fiery red personality or a quiet and calm blue or green. You could be an organized and methodical yellow or an explosive purple. Come join me, Mystic Michaela, on my podcast, Know Your Aura, to find out all about how your personality can be explained in colors.
I don't get it. Podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.